Blog Talk Radio.
My time in this walk is not just the time that I've known that I've been a Hebrew, but
The Most High has had me in this word for a minute, for many years. And so from the time I've been 21 at least, but even before then, but definitely from the time of being 21. We are going to be looking at Messiah and what he says concerning the kingdom. We need to be in alignment with him and in the word of Yah. So let us do this. Let us start off with our statement of faith, and then we shall pray in, and we will get into this precept. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Most High Elohim a praise this morning, a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to you, O Yah. Glory to you, O Yah. Glory to you. From glory to glory, thou art Elohim. Thou art my Elohim. And I praise thee with all my heart. Hallelujah to you, Father. We glorify you and honor you this morning, for you are our Elohim, and you are our Elohim alone. And we praise you, we praise you, we praise you, for you are worthy, you are worthy, and you are worthy. Hallelujah. 10,000 times 10,000 praises to you. Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, glory to your name, glory to your name. Yah Elohim of Abraham, Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob. Hallelujah. And my Elohim, I praise you this morning. I glorify you and I lift you up. Hallelujah. 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 Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways, if we would but turn from our wicked ways, and, the Most High must want me to say something else this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. If we would return from our wicked ways and seek your face, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people, Israel. Father, we are your people. We turn humbly toward you even now, professing your name, seeking out only you, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. Amen. That's a first. Hallelujah. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. 1 Kings, chapter 8. Starting in verse 46. If they sin, they being Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Got up this morning and read, you know, the entire book of Ecclesiastes this morning. And, you know, somebody had asked a question concerning a few verses in Ecclesiastes. And when you read, you know, Ecclesiastes from the beginning to the end, you realize that Solomon was vexed. He was, he looked at the world through the wisdom that the Most High gave him. And in that, in searching out that wisdom, he found out that all is vanity. Everybody goes to the grave. Don't care how poor you are, how rich you are, you cannot take any of it with you. And then, so he says some things like, you know, a righteous man can live a short life and still be blessed, but a wicked man might live a long life, and he might prolong his days through wickedness, through doing wickedness. Maybe, you know, he's killing people to stay alive or whatever the case may be. In the end, when you finish with all of Ecclesiastes, with the conclusion that Solomon comes to, which is why we read verses 12, 13, and 14, is that the conclusion of the whole matter, no matter what you might think you're going through, no matter how you look at life, no matter what you might think is right and wrong, the truth of the whole matter is to fear Elohim and keep his commandments, to enjoy the labor, the fruits of your labor, your portion of it. Because the problem with the rich man is he's trying to hold on to his riches, and he's not sharing them like he should. He's trying to get richer and richer. He says, you know, the mouth is never full. You know, you're going to have to eat all your life, more or less. And if you get an overabundance of something, then somebody else has to eat it. So you're laboring, you're getting all these things, and you're trying to consume them on yourself or keep them for yourself. And in the end, somebody else is going to get them, because you're going to go to the grave. And nobody's going to remember you. Even the wicked, nobody's going to remember. But the Most High. The Most High is the one that's going to remember the wicked and the righteous. So in all our getting, you know, we are told to get understanding. And the understanding is that for everything, fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Why? Because Elohim is going to bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So whatever you put your hands to, make sure that you're doing it for the good and not for the evil. Because when you die, nobody's going to know. They go to your gravestone. They're not going to know whether you were good or evil. Man won't know. And, you know, unless somebody writes a book about you or whatever. But for the most part, we live and we die. We labor in between. And how we labor and why we labor is what the Most High looks at. That's what he's looking for. So we want to make sure that our whole purpose and our whole understanding is my purpose for being here is to keep the commandments of the Most High and to do it in a righteous way. Solomon, you know, he said, I did everything. I sought pleasure. That's how he got those 1,000 wives. 700 wives and 300 concubines. He said, I sought out every form of pleasure there was. I did all this stuff. I even sought out, you know, drinking, wine, and all this kind of stuff, trying to see why things are, what really matters. I mean, the wisdom that the Most High gave Solomon, it vexed him in a way because it put him into such deep thought about everything in this world, and he realized that the Most High caused it to where we don't really know how long this earth has been here. We don't really know how long it's going to be here in the future. The Most High has kept those things hidden. And every generation that comes and goes, you know, nobody remembers them. He says, and the only one that is going to remember them is the Most High Elohim. And he's going to call everybody back. And he's going to judge according to our works. So we want to be faithful and get an understanding that, you know, you can put your hands to whatever labor you want to put them to. But it would be much better, just in my understanding of the scripture and what the Most High has said, to put them to the labor of the Most High. To do those things, spend your life laboring in the Most High and toward his kingdom. Because that's what you're going to be judged on. So if you don't do the work, if you try to, you know, become rich, or you try to live a life that, you know, you're comfortable with, but you don't really do the things that he wants, that he has commanded, you may be able to live a happy life for you. But the end thereof, once you die, and he calls us back, then we have to answer to him. And Solomon came to this conclusion through the book of Ecclesiastes, as he wrote about it, calls himself the preacher, comes to the conclusion, Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. And so if you read all of Ecclesiastes, you can get, there's a lot of paradoxical things that he talks about. But in the end thereof, the vanity of it all is you do all that work and you're still going to end up going to the grave. And so, you know, you might be that very wise man, that very wise person, and you do all this stuff and you have a son and you leave it to him and you don't know if your son going to be wise or whether he's going to be a fool. So you do all this labor and stuff thinking that you're doing something that's going to be long-lasting, and the only work that is long-lasting is that work that you do for the Most High, because he's going to be the one that calls it into remembrance and reward us accordingly. So, yeah, I would challenge each and every one of you to read the entire book of Ecclesiastes, some of Solomon's comparisons. You have to sit back and maybe read them 3 or 4 times, chew on them, put them down, come back to them to understand exactly what he's comparing. But in the end, as I said, with all the wisdom that he had, his wisdom brought him back to fear the Most High and keep his commandments. Everything else is vanity. So we want to make sure that we are within the commandments of the Most High. Let us start this morning. We are still in citizenship. We read yesterday where John the Baptist announced, you know, the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. Messiah opened up his ministry the same way. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. So we're going to look at some of the other things that Messiah says to us, because we really need to understand, even though we're seeing a wicked world and we're living in a wicked world right now, that the kingdom of heaven is already here. And he's expecting those people who hear his voice, who hear his call, to live according to the statutes, laws, and commandments of the kingdom, and to understand who we are. This world, we know, is temporary. How temporary? You know, we might say in our lifetime, you know, this is how it's been our whole lifetime. And however long we're here, this is how it is. And, you know, that's why we have to see the vision of the Most High and take hold of it. We have to believe it and live in it, because we may not see the fulfillment of it in our lifetime. Think about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all the prophets, all the people who are written in the book, who saw the vision and grabbed hold to it. They never saw the completion of it, but they believed. And they walked in it. And this is what the Most High is telling us. Do what it is that I have told you to do. And when I decide, because it's in my time, when I decide that I'm going to come back and call you back from the dead, from the grave, then that's when I'm going to do it. If you're trying to make this happen right now, or trying to speed it up, the truth of the matter is, it's in his time. We just have to do what he says to do. So just like the analogy I gave yesterday with Moses, not Moses, with Noah, the judgment, the flooding of the world couldn't come until Noah did what the Most High told him to do. So if it had taken him 300 years, 400 years, the Most High was not going to bring judgment on the earth until Noah finished the boat. They finished the ark. We have been in the kingdom of the Most High, and mankind still trying to rule himself, which is what all the, you know, the prophets are talking about, you know, with Babylon and all the different kingdoms of Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece and Rome, these kingdoms where man has tried to rule himself instead of allowing the Most High to rule them. Even the nation that the Most High chose, Israel, rejected him as king. Confusion. So we have to understand that the work that Messiah did, the timing of it, the timing of his return, is all in the Father's hands. And he says, I'm looking for a people who are going to do what I say to do. You know, that should be you and I. That should be the whole world. But I'm seeing that man wants to be ruler of man. And men really, when I say men, I'm talking about mankind as a whole here, doesn't really want to submit to the Most High Elohim. That has been the proof. That has been... How should I say this? What man has shown through time. And so I'm sure that there have been some, more than a few, that have done it. But as an overall, men have done what they want to do, which is typically, usually, wickedness. Let us, you know, let us rejoice and be glad in this flesh, Let us rejoice and be glad in getting much riches. But as Solomon said, what does it matter? You can't take it with you. And somebody else is going to get it. And then the riches that the wicked get are really laid up for the righteous. So the wicked person is working hard, doing wickedness, trying to obtain all this stuff. And the Most High will just turn around and give it to somebody righteous. That righteous man has to know that he can't take it with him either. And so we need to understand that this whole exercise in humanity is for the Most High to get a seed that he wants. So just like he ascribes us as a cluster of grapes, and the cluster of grapes itself, the outside grapes, are going bad. They are wicked. They're rotten. But there's some good grapes on the inside of that cluster. And I'm not throwing away the whole cluster so I can save the good ones. We want to find ourselves being, we want to find ourselves being one of those good grapes in the cluster. Look around you. You see wickedness everywhere. You see men of the Most High saying that they are men of the Most High, and women of the Most High saying they are women of the Most High, and still doing wickedness. Some are wanton wickedness. And say, well, we belong to the Most High, but they are rotten. And mixed in with those are some good ones. So let's jump into this. Let's go to the book of Mark. Remember, we've already read where Messiah said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Messiah makes a statement in Mark chapter 9, verse 1. So if you have it, if you go into your Bible, to Mark chapter 9, verse 1. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of Elohim come with power. Now, if people are still waiting, I said this yesterday, if people are still waiting for the kingdom of Elohim to come, then what Messiah said 2,000 years ago, some of those people that were there got to still be walking the earth if his kingdom didn't come in their lifetime. Everybody that was standing around who heard that. But I submit to you that the kingdom did come as he said. And some of them didn't see death and saw the kingdom come with power. So let's take a look at that. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. The book of Matthew, chapter 12. And let me put my Bible over here so I can read it and look at the screen. All right, the book of Matthew, chapter 12. And we're going to be getting verses 22 through 28. The book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 22 through 28. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. Wait a minute, am I in the right place? That is not the verse that I want. Hold on a minute. Just a minute. Got the wrong verse. I think I erased the verse that I needed. One second. I don't know where I need to go. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. The book of Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to start in verse 16, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Now remember, Messiah said that some, there would be some that would not see death until they saw the kingdom of Elohim come with power. So start Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Yeshua had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Yeshua came and spake unto them, saying, now he has been, I want to start to say, at this point he has been crucified. He has risen from the dead, been gone for 3 days, and he's coming to see them now. And so when it says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. They, you know, wait a minute. We saw you die. You know, is it really you? And Yeshua came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now he has come out of the tomb, and he has been resurrected. This is when the kingdom of Elohim was started in the world and was opened back up to man. And when they saw Messiah, he tells them, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Some of y'all, I told you, you would see this day, that you would not die. They didn't know it was going to be that soon. They really didn't have any faith at all as to when it would be, because when they saw him down on the cross, a lot of them didn't even believe he was getting back up. It's not until he comes out of the tomb and shows himself. And even with them seeing him then, some are doubting. So he tells them, all power is given unto me. You have seen the kingdom of Elohim come with power. It's been given to me. Now I'm sending you. So let's read this and understand what he's telling the disciples, what he's telling us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, all races, because that word is ethnos. We look at it as nation like a country, but it really means races of people. Teach all races of people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, let's break this down. All power is given unto me. Now, I'm sending you to do the work and to finish the work that I have started. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, all races of people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. We got to go back into Messiah's teaching and pull out what he has said to do, the things that he explained about the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. Here's the parable of the kingdom. Here's the parable of how your heavenly Father is in the kingdom. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away from the law. If any man teach men to break the least of these commandments, he shall be called the least in the kingdom. And so, if we understand that we are in the kingdom right now, and we are supposed to be teaching people about the kingdom, how to enter into the kingdom, how to get their citizenship, what are the laws of the kingdom, you have to defect from the kingdom that you're in. You have to denounce it. I don't want that kingdom anymore. I don't want to live in the world that we live in anymore. I want to help to bring about kingdom of the Most High. I want to help to expand the kingdom of the Most High. I want to be a citizen in the kingdom of the Most High. And so he's saying, this is the what I'm commanding you to do. Go and teach all nations and baptize them. Bring them into the kingdom. But they got to know what they're coming into. Nobody wants to defect from the country that they are born in unless they feel like the country that they are born in is just terrible. Maybe the government, you know, killed their parents and they got a thing against the government. And so I don't want to live anymore. Maybe they see the oppression of the government. And we have no freedom. We can't do anything. So, and they look and they see, oh, there's America. And they say they have freedom in America and they have liberty in America to do whatever they want to do. And I can guarantee you, if there was a nation on the earth right now and they were following the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, there would be some people who were born into it who would want to defect from his kingdom. Because it's man's nature to want to do what man wants to do. We live in a free nation. We live in the land, quote unquote, of liberty. And yet we're still seeking for another country. Because we see the unfairness, the atrocity, the unequalness, even in the land of liberty and freedom. With man governing himself. And when we look at the kingdom of the Most High, says, you know, I got my kingdom has some rules. You don't have full liberty. You have the liberty not to sin. That's your liberty, not to sin. But you're going to obey the laws of the land. You're going to obey the commandments of the land. And this is what you need to come into. And so we are supposed to be defecting from this world. We have to, you know, each and every one of us has to look at where we're at and look at what the Most High is offering and say, is that what I want? It's a decision that each and every person has to make. Is this what I want? Do I want the kingdom of the Most High? Now, if we follow human nature is going to say no. If we have that spirit of lust and we love the body and we love satisfying the body, this flesh, we're going to say no because, you know, I can't, you know, in the world, I can do whatever I want. I can sleep with whoever I want, whenever I want. But the Most High says, not so in my kingdom. In the world, you got people, capitalism is really all about taking from other people. Whether it's, I convince you to buy this product and take your money, or I flim-flam you and cheat you out your money, or I write the contract such that you can't understand all the terms of the contract, and I write the writing so small that I know you're not going to read it, so you don't fully understand the contract. And then I take what is yours from you. It's not designed, it's designed to take from. And so, yeah, you go to work every day and you work hard and you come home and everything's designed so that everything costs you. Your electricity costs you. Your water costs you. Your food costs you. There's nobody that lives in the world that can go without water and food. And then, being civilized, we can't go without shelter. If every person has a requirement for that, why would we ever charge people for those things? They are the basic necessities. Now, you don't need a car. You might, you know, depending on where you're at, we've gotten used to them. But the things that you don't absolutely need, and you want, yeah, I can see them charging for that. But the things that you absolutely need for them to charge for it, then we want to say, well, you know, we can't all grow our own food. We can't, but yeah, we grow enough food to feed everyone. So the Most High is looking at us and saying, I want everybody to, in my world, everybody has what they need, sufficient, and you don't work for it. It is provided. And you go when you're working because nobody, you know, you gotta be doing something. We're working toward the betterment of man, living, you know, a righteous life, not going about hurting anybody, not going about trying to take from someone or try to make them be lesser than. So I want you, if you can imagine the kingdom where electricity for everyone is free. Food for everyone is free. Water is free. Some people will probably get bored with it. What am I going to do without myself if I'm not trying to take from someone? If I'm not trying, you know, if I don't have to go out here and work to get it, will I be lazy? No, there's always things to do, but it's a changing of the mentality of mankind. And see, so it's hard for a lot of people to even see the kingdom of the Most High. Now, there have been some men that have seen it, and they tried to implement it up under, let's say, communism. And that state of communism, the ideal of it, and the failure of it was that it was not each man looking out for each man's wealth. It was the people looking out for the wealth of the state. And then the state was supposed to take care of the needs of the people. But then you have mankind that gets involved with it, and men get in those positions, and they get greedy, and they don't want to live the same life because, oh, I'm better than the common person. And so it didn't work. But the Most High says, no, my kingdom is all about the welfare of the people and for the people and to do right by, so that he says, there's going to come a day when there are no poor. Messiah said, the poor are always with you because we won't do what he said to do. But if you go back into the Torah, he tells us, don't close your hand to the poor, and there's going to come a time when you have no poor. If you open your hand to the poor, there's going to come a time when you have no poor. If you're not stingy with each other, your brothers and your sisters, going to come a time when there's not going to be any poor. But because we close our hands to the poor, and because we don't live by his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, because we are worried about if somebody has more than we do, then we're not able to do what it is that he's asking us to do. So each and every one of us has to decide, do we want to be a citizen in his kingdom? He says, it's already here. All you got to do is do what I said to do. Keep my commandments. That's what he's meaning. Keep my commandments. Keep my instructions. Do what I said to do, and you will have this utopia. And I will come back because you have come, you have done what I said to do. So maybe men really don't want to see the Most High come back. But he says, I've appointed a day. I'm giving you so much time, and I've appointed a day. And I'm going to come back anyway. I would much rather him come back and find us doing what it is he said to do than following men because they really don't want him to come back because they really don't want to stop doing what they are doing. Let's continue. So he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said, but we don't see him here. That's why we have to understand the Ruach. We have to understand the Holy Spirit because he is the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that was within him. The Spirit that dwelt in Messiah. He says, I'm going to send this same Spirit back. It is my Spirit. And I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And to the time that I decided I'm going to end it, I will be with you. So we got to understand this mechanism of the kingdom. We got to understand how Messiah is going to be here with us. We got to understand that and decide and commit, do we really want to do this? Do we want this? Because the truth of the matter is, from, you know, the evidence that we've had of mankind, the reason we don't see the kingdom of heaven on the earth in the way that Most High describes it, my belief and understanding is men really do not want it. And even when it's forced upon them, for 1,000 years, one day, 1,000 years, what they decide is, the vast majority of them decide, no, we don't want it. Think about that. This is what the scripture is telling us. You need to decide where you're at in it. Do you really want it? Because every person has to make that decision for themselves. So we need to find out how we get in. If you want it, then you got to find out how to get in and then how to stay in. That's the decision that every person on the planet has to make. Okay, let's continue. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of Yah descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and came as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye. Don't you fear. Don't be afraid. For I know that you seek Yeshua, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come, see the place where Yah lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. So the women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, which I believe is his mother, they're coming to finish the burial of Messiah. He has been in the tomb 3 days. It has been a Sabbath. They have had feast days. And so this is the first day that they can actually come. And they're coming in the morning. And the angel comes and rolls back the stone from the grave for them and says, don't be afraid. Now you see somebody that looks at it. Think about what how they describe this man, this angel. He looks like lightning. He looks like electricity. Okay? And so you probably was making that sound too. That electrical sound. Now that's my ad libbing in there, but it says that he looks like lightning. And to us, we know that lightning is a form of electricity, just Mother Nature's form of it. And so if you ever seen any, you know, electricity flowing, this is how this man looks, like electricity. And his clothes are glowing bright white. And your first thing that your first effort was me, and I think it was for these women too, just like these men, the men that saw him that were there that were guards, they became very afraid, like dead men. They couldn't move. And he tells the ladies, don't be afraid. I know you're here looking for Messiah. But he's not here. He's already got up and he's gone. There's no burial for you to do here. There's no ritual for you to finish. So go tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. He has come out of the tomb. He has been resurrected. And he's coming to offer the kingdom. And when we go down to verses 18 and 19, or 28, 18 and 19, then he tells them, all power has been given unto me. Some of y'all were here when I told you, some of y'all are going to see the kingdom come with power. And you wouldn't see death. So his words, he fulfills them only a few days after he has told them to them. And we got people in this world that don't understand that the kingdom came that day. And the kingdom was open to the world to apply for citizenship that day. And so he tells them how to offer the citizenship. Go and teach all nations. Announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And teach them whatsoever I have taught you. Baptize them into the kingdom. That day. So it has been here for 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, the kingdom has been here. Let us go to Matthew chapter 13. The book of Matthew chapter 13. We're going to get start in verse 44. Because as I've said on previous occasions, you have to esteem your birthright. You have to esteem your citizenship. You have to want it more than you want anything else in the world. This is what Messiah has told us from the very beginning. So when we look at Esau, and we understand he despised his birthright, and then the Most High says, well, I'm going to make you my child. And when the Most High makes you his child, and then you don't really care for it, or you don't even care for the offer, you despise it. When we don't do what he says to do, we despise our birthright. So Messiah said, we need to esteem our citizenship. And we need to want the kingdom more than we want anything else. So let us get in the right frame of mind. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 44. Okay. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man has found this treasure, he hideth, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. So the kingdom of heaven, it's like you're going out in this field. Maybe you went out in the park or a field around your house and you stumble on something and you brush the dirt from it and then you see that there's more there, and you brush the dirt from that, and it's a suitcase, like a trunk, and you know, you don't know whether it's got a dead body in it or what it's got in it, but you're curious. And so you uncover and you open it, and it's full of, let's say, $1,000 bills. Nothing but thousands. And it's a trunk, 3 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet deep. And you know it's a lot of money. And you know that, hey, that particular land don't belong to you. And you know that if you drag it out of there, somebody's going to see you dragging it out of there. So you cover it back up. I got to get that field. That field is worth more than all my house. And you go and sell everything you have to get that field. Because you know that what's in the field is worth more than whatever you got. The Most High says you got to esteem the kingdom that way. That when you find it, that you value it more precious than anything that you have. You will sell everything you have. You will give your all to obtain it. This is the mentality that you got to have about the kingdom of heaven, about the kingdom of the Most High. I'll give my all to get it. You have to ask yourself, what wouldn't you give kingdom of the Most High? Go to the next verse, verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. This pearl is worth so much, of so great value, so precious. I'm going to sell my everything I have. I'm going to give my all to get it. Can we hear what the Most High is saying concerning his kingdom and the attitude that we are supposed to have? What Messiah himself said, you need to value the kingdom so precious that you would give your all for it. You need to esteem becoming one of my children so valuable that you would give your all for it. The Most High doesn't want a piece of us. He doesn't want what we think we might be able to give him. He says, give me your all. What I'm offering you is worth your all. And we look at it, we don't see anything immediate. Like Esau, what good is my birthright doing me right now? I got the light bill to pay. I got the house note to pay. I got a car note to pay. I got to put food in the refrigerator. I'm hungry. That was Esau's, you know, I'm about to starve to death here. Yeah, I'll sell you my birthright for a bowl of beans. Wasn't that valuable to him? How valuable is it to you? Because this is what the Most High is asking us when he gives us these examples. Then you ought to, this is how you got to esteem my kingdom. This is how you got to esteem your relationship with me. This is how I'm giving you, elevating you to be my children. Not just a mere man, but the children of the Most High Elohim. Not just a brute beast, male or female, which your only desires are to reproduce, eat, and have fun. I'm elevating you to higher than that. And you got to want it with everything that you have. You got to be willing to give your all. And see, a lot of us are not going to make it because we don't want to give our all. We don't esteem the kingdom the way the Most High says we ought to esteem it. So, you know, you have to ask yourself the question. Am I willing to pay the price that the Most High says this is going to cost me? Or will I enjoy my time while I'm here and I'll just face the consequences when they come? Because that's really the two choices we have. So this is not Brother Miles saying this is what it takes to get into the kingdom. This is what the Most High is saying. You ought to esteem it as so precious that you would sell your all to get into it. To get it. To obtain it. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. And I know I always have this verse in here wrong. Let me check it real quick. Jeremiah, chapter 29. And where did you come from? Get down. Jeremiah chapter 29, I believe it's verse 43. No, it can't be verse 43. I know it. I thought I corrected this. Hold on. Let me search this out. I thought I corrected this previously. It's a very short verse. All right, we're just going to use a couple of these verses. They say the same thing, not the one I'm actually looking for. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 24. And I'll find this other one, come back to it. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 24 and verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. The verse I was looking for says that, he says, you will find him when you seek after him with your whole heart. In order to even find him, you have to seek after him with your whole heart. When we find him, we return unto him with our whole heart. Our all, not a piece of our heart, not what we, you know, like I said, like we feel like, what we want to give him. You got to value the kingdom and esteem it that you would give your all for it. And you can't even find him, Elohim, unless you're seeking after him with your whole heart. The Most High wants, the Most High says, I'm going to give you my all. I want your all from you. It is my heart to give you all my riches and glory, all my blessings. But I want you to want it with your whole heart. Go to the book of Matthew. Again, chapter 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 13. and we're going to start with we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. We did 44 and 45. We're going to do verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. This means that the Most High is not saying that the kingdom of heaven is like sin, but it's like a change agent, okay? Leaven, in the sense of real leavening, is a like yeast that you put in the flour. And that yeast causes the flour or the dough that you're using it to make to rise. It causes a change in it. If you just take flour and water and mix it, that'll come out like you can knead it and make a bread, but it'll come out, it won't rise. It'll be like flat bread. But when you add yeast to it, the yeast causes it to change and to rise. That's what leaven is. And since the scriptures always equate leavening, sin to leavening, because sin is a change agent. Sin caused Adam and Eve to change. When we sin, it causes us to change. So we always hear leavening equated to sin, but leavening is not always sin. It can be equated to something that brings about a change. The Most High said that the kingdom of heaven was like a woman leavening some bread in three separate portions until it all became leavened. All was changed. Okay. The Most High, the leavening that the Most High wants to use in the kingdom is his spirit. I'm going to pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. This is the change element that he's adding. This is the element that he's adding that's going to add change, what was different than before, spirit. This is going to be like that. It's going to change over time until everything has his spirit. And maybe that's in three phases, the first fruit, the second resurrection, and from that point, everything has his spirit in his kingdom. But this is the end that he wants, that the whole kingdom is filled with him and people who are filled with his spirit, his children. So we got to understand that we have to work at this thing and continue it. And even when we go to the grave, understand that the Spirit of the Most High don't leave you in the grave. Even in the grave, in your bones, the Ruach HaKodesh will be there. We can go back and look at Elijah, I believe, when he died. And the Most High, he was filled with the Spirit of the Most High. And even after he died, he had turned to bone. So, you know, he had to be dead for a little while. And some Amorites came by, and they were, you know, in a battle. And they were being, I think it was some Moabites that came by, and they were in a battle. And, you know, they were running for their life. And, you know, they were trying to sneak and get past this line, and they got discovered. And they were carrying, you know, some of their dead with them. And so in order to fight, they threw this dead man in, unknowingly, they threw him into the grave of Elijah. And when this dead body touched the bones of Elijah, he came back to life. Now, he didn't come back to life through the power of Elijah. Came back to to life through the power of the Most High that was in the bones of Elijah. That's how the Most High said. Why he said, if I don't find my spirit in you, when I come back, I'm not resurrecting you in the first resurrection. If I don't find my spirit in you, I'm not resurrecting you until I call all the dead back. Now, the truth of the matter is, I sort of misspoke there, because he does not call you back in the first resurrection unless you have given your all. You paid the price, the ultimate price. You gave your life, literally, for the word of Yah and for the gospel. The testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach. You were killed because of that. You get to reign with him 1,000 years, and he'll resurrect you in the first resurrection. Everybody else who, you know, we got filled with the Spirit, but we didn't give our life, we get up in the second resurrection. We still get eternal life, but we didn't pay with our life. And we may not have been called to that. But just so I make sure I set the order straight so that I don't put out there anything that is contrary to the scripture. So, this kingdom that is here, the Most High says eventually it will spread throughout all the world. We want to be part of that change. At least I do. I can't speak for anybody else. I do. I want to be part of that leavening that is helping to change the world, to get the Spirit of the Most High, and to be able to be called into his kingdom. Let's go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And we're going to start with verse 12. The book of Luke, chapter 19. Okay, Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 12. And he called his 10 servants. Now, let's start with verse 12. He said, therefore, no, we're going to start with verse 11. More context here. On last night, so I'm going to change it again. Luke 19, starting in verse 10. Because there's something I said last night that goes along with this. So Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 10. I told you that Messiah came back to restore that which was lost. But it wasn't just kingdom of Israel. It wasn't just the nation of Israel. Because Messiah had been promised ever since Adam and Eve. And the seed of the woman. And what they lost there was their citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. They lost eternal life. And they lost being the children of the Most High in that sin. Now, he had forgiven them, but there were some things that he had already proclaimed, and they lost it. Citizenship in the kingdom was one of it. I'm going to kick you out the garden. So, Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, or near to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of Elohim should immediately appear. This is what every generation has wanted. We want the kingdom now. We today, every generation, has hope that they are the generation that the Most High comes back in and that his kingdom comes to the earth. But the kingdom is already on the earth. We're just waiting for our king to return. So, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of Elohim should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Stay here and occupy my land and my house until I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, this is what our forefathers did to Messiah. He's given us it through a parable. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over, even over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he likewise to him, and he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Master, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. So here are three men. Their master goes and says, I'm going to get a kingdom. A kingdom made up of cities and countries and has rulership. And the people, he gave one 10-pound, one 5, one 1. But while he was going, the people said, we will not have this man to rule over us. But he's got some servants. But the people who are there around his house, the neighbors, the other landowners and things like that, we won't have you to rule over us. So now he talks about the servants that he has. He gives them, say, hey, here's 10 pounds for you, here's 5 pounds for you, here's 1 pound for you. Stay here and occupy until I return. Well, you're just not just standing around, because you see what he expects for you to do something with the pounds that he's given you. With the money that he left them, he expected for them to do something. So when he returns with the kingdom, and this is what we're waiting on Messiah, to return with the kingdom, to return to take over his kingdom. The ones who did something with it, who went out and preached the gospel, who gained souls for the kingdom, because this is what this equates to. He said, well done. Because you have been faithful over a little, here, you're the governor over 10 cities. And you, I gave you 5 pounds, and you have made another 5. Here, you're the ruler over 5 cities. And here's the one that had his servant now, who didn't do anything, folded it up in a napkin and said, I was afraid to lose it. So I kept it because I knew you were an austere man. That word austere means terrible. That he's not to be played with. And I know that you gain where you yourself don't reap. Let's look and see what Messiah says to him. He says, wherefore, or why then, gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it unto him that has 10 pounds. Him, master, he has 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that every one which has shall be given. If you take what the Most High has given you and you work with it and you multiply it, he says, I'm going to give you more. And from him that has not, that didn't do anything with it or lost it, even that he has shall be taken from him. So you're just going to be in the kingdom. Now, but those my enemies. So you might, in the last instance, you maintain your citizenship. You're not made a ruler. You're not given any cities, but you're a citizen in those cities. You're still in the kingdom. But remember, there were some people that said, we will not have this man to rule over us. But to those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring here and slay them before me. Messiah says this. You knew I was an austere man. Now, if you're my servant, I'm going to reward you according to your work. And if you're that slothful servant, I'm going to take from you, and you're going to be poor in the kingdom. You're not going to have any authority, because I'm raising a nation of kings and priests. And if you want your kingship to be in a position of rulership over the Gentile nations, over the rest of the world, to bring them in and rule over them with me, if that's your desire, then you got to do something with this word. You can't sit on it. So if you're satisfied, hey, I just want to make it in. He said, okay, you'll make it in and you'll be a citizen. But you're going to be up under someone. But if you desire to be something in the kingdom, more than just a citizen, but you desire to rule with me, then you got to do what I said to do. So in this case, you got to go out and preach the gospel. You got to teach all the nations whatsoever I've commanded you. But if you are his enemy, it doesn't fare well for the enemies at all. Bring them here and slay them. Kill them before me. Wait a minute. Is that the king? Is that the Messiah that you've heard about? Is that the Messiah that you've been told about? All of his citizens have to be obedient to him. All of his citizens have to want him to be their ruler. But he says, all those that don't want me to be their ruler, I'm killing you. I hope we can hear what the scriptures are saying. So every citizen of the kingdom has to take up their cross. They have to give their all. This is what he's looking for. Go to Daniel chapter 7. The book of Daniel. Chapter 7. And we're going to start in verse 13. The book of Daniel, chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Now, in this chapter in Daniel, Daniel's having visions, and he has a vision of these different kind of beasts, these different nations that are going to rise up, okay? I'm going to start in verse 13. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and tongues or languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Now, Daniel seeing this vision of the Son of Man being brought to the Ancient of Days. And it's a vision. And in that vision, you have to wonder, why was he troubled? Why was he troubled in his spirit when he saw this vision, the Son of Man being brought to the Ancient of Days? Couldn't write. Some things that the seven thunders said that he couldn't write. But Daniel was showed, when he saw the Son of Man and the Ancient of Days, when you go into Revelation chapter 1, you're given the same description of Messiah as the same description as the Ancient of Days. But here's the Son of Man, and this is where the church gets it wrong. Because what troubled Daniel is this is the same individual. These are the same beings. But one is being ascribed to as the Son of Man for what he was going to do and what he had to go through. And I bet that troubled Daniel too, that you're going to kill this person, which is in the vision, they're the same being. One's going to have to die on the cross. And he was vexed. It's the same individual. And he'll tell you later, my cognitions, you know, my thoughts, I was messed up. We have to understand that, again, Messiah, from the very beginning, has told us that he was coming. And he told us from the position of Father, I'm coming. He told us from the position of Ancient of Days, I'm coming. When you read the Torah, when you read the Old Testament, I would challenge any of you, anybody in here, I challenge, find in the Old Testament where the God of the Old Testament said that he had a father, or the God of the Old Testament said that he had a son. He himself, you will not find it, not written that way. And this is why the elders of Israel and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, this is why when Messiah came talking the way that he came talking, they said, for good works. We're not killing you for good works. We kill you not. But because you being a man, the Son of Man, maketh yourself Elohim or the Ancient of Days. This is why we're killing you. You being a man, make yourself Elohim. But Daniel saw this already in a vision. Son of Man was brought unto the Ancient of Days, and it bothered him because, wait a minute, he's the same individual, same being. And it troubled him. And so we have to understand that the Most High has always told Israel, I am your king. I am your father. I am your husband. Whatever relationship you need, I'm it. Let's drop down to verses 16, 17, and 18. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me known the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, which was different from all the others, exceeding dreadful, with teeth, whose teeth were of iron, and whose nails of brass, which devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. Now this beast that he's describing, we know no animal has teeth of iron. It's a vision. We know no animal has nails of brass. It's a vision. But what do we know that is made out of metal? In the last kingdom, iron and brass and automation, machines, are what he's describing. And he's describing it as this beast, but this beast, no natural beast has teeth of iron. So he's describing from a vision the last kingdom, a mechanized kingdom made out of metal. Your tanks, your helicopters, your cars, your Humvees, your machine guns. It's all based upon metal. And that fourth kingdom, unlike all the other kingdoms, was going to have the power to actually destroy mankind. We see that today. And so he's troubled at that as well. But he says that the saints of the Most High will inherit the kingdom. Will inherit the kingdom. Even over this kingdom. So we're looking for knives, or we're thinking about arrows and bows and those types of things. He's saying, no. This last kingdom is going to be a terrible kingdom, and it's going to be ruled by metal. And metal and flesh don't mix. When we start mechanizing things and making things out of metal, we could kill a person very quickly. I mean, even when they came up with the bow and the arrow, the spear, but you had to be close for that. But in this fourth kingdom, we'll be able to kill from long distance. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Now, it took us here so that we can see that the Son of Man is who we're looking for. We're looking that he's going to have a kingdom. His kingdom is going to be forever. His kingdom is going to come after the fourth kingdom. Going to come during that kingdom, because this is the kingdom that he's going to actually topple. But this kingdom, in other visions, we know these are the toes that are mixed with clay and the different precepts. The book of Acts, chapter 1. and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yeshua began to both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of Elohim, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. The promise of the Father, he told them that all through the book, but especially through like Jeremiah, that I'm going to pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I've been telling you that the Father wants to dwell in you. I told you that I would return. John 14, book of John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be unto you unto what? The end of the world. And he will abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sent him not. Neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. If we understand what must, I'm going to come to you via the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and I will not leave you comfortless. If you give your all to me, if you seek me with your whole heart, I won't leave you comfortless. I will be there to guide you. I will be there to tell you what to do. I will be there to heal you. I'm going to be your power, that you might fulfill my word. Let's drop down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you. The Holy Ghost is going to bring back to your remembrance all the things that I have taught you, all the things that I have said. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Now, this is how we're supposed to go. Without this, we don't have our citizenship. We don't have our power. We don't have, we won't get the right word. Acts chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. The book of Acts chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days from here or hence. When they therefore will come together, they ask him, saying, Master, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Shall receive power when? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. And we are going to get verses 1 through 5. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came the sound of from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. This is when the first people received their power. You shall be given power. You shall receive power. Messiah told us we can do nothing in and of ourselves. This is when they received their citizenship. The first people in the kingdom. This is when they received their citizenship. When they received their power. Now, this is when this was open to Israel. This was also given to the Gentiles. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 44. The book of Acts chapter 10, verse 44. And we're not going to go over all these verses. We're going to read the relevant ones here. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 48. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Hebrews, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, the Gentiles received the power to do the same thing, to receive citizenship. Because remember, this goes all the way back to Genesis, to the woman, the seed of the woman, and what was lost in the garden. They lost their citizenship in the garden. The world did. Mankind did. So Messiah came. I chose a priesthood. And I created a priesthood, a priestly nation. And that priestly nation didn't really want to be the priest. They rejected the Messiah. But not all of them. The first members of the body come out of Israel. But because the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people at large, because they would not believe Messiah and they didn't believe the scriptures. They wanted to be justified being Israel. They wanted to be justified being keepers of the law, which they weren't really keeping. Just saying it. And the Most High says, I want a people who are actually going to believe me. So here are some Gentiles in Cornelius and his family. They have been doing all that they know how to do. He says, now I'm going to show you how to enter into the kingdom. Sent for Peter. Peter came and spoke the gospel to them, and they believed. And they were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. They got into the kingdom, got their citizenship that day, and they received the power of the Most High. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 19. The book of Acts, chapter 19. We're going to get verses 1 through 7. The book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, says this is where I see most people that are today, whether they are in the camps, whether they are in the churches, this is where most of us are at today. Out of the book of Acts, chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We've got a lot of people who are believers. A lot of people who are believers. Some of the times, they have never even been taught about a Holy Ghost, a Ruach HaKodesh. Most of the time, they are never taught to expect to receive and be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. With evidence. Not just saying, I got it, but according to the scriptures. Because this is what makes one a son of Elohim. This is what gives you your citizenship. This is where you get your power from. So let's read this and understand whose disciples these are. They are in the Word. They've been listening to John. But let's hear what their testimony is. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, since you believe? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost or any Ruach HaKodesh. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Yeshua HaMashiach. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Ruach, the Holy Ghost, came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So we got to understand that there are many believers. Many people hear the gospel. They hear the word of Yah, and they believe, but they haven't received the Ruach yet. And then because of so many different doctrines out there, and people know that you got to receive the Ruach HaKodesh, you got to be born of the Holy Ghost. You got to be born of the Spirit of the Most High. When they don't have the experience of the book, see, when it's written, then you should be looking to have the same experience. Because it's going to prove to you and increase your faith that you are a child of the Most High. that you're not claiming to be one, but you have the same experience as those that were in the book. It's written for a reason, so that we might know. And so these men, they were John's disciples, and they're looking for the kingdom of heaven. And they're asked, have you received the Ruach since you believed? And their testimony was, we haven't so much as heard. Ain't nobody told us nothing about no Ruach filled with the Holy Spirit. And then when he told them about Messiah, they believed and they got rebaptized. So if you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to be rebaptized. So those are titles. You need to be baptized into Yeshua HaMashiach, and if you want to get baptized into Jesus, either or. But not Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Those are titles. Those are not his name. And when they believed, they got hands laid on them. And they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I just say to you, don't make an assumption. Don't just assume or choose to assume that, yeah, I got this. If you don't see the sign. Because, see, there are two types of tongues in the scriptures. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. The tongues that the Most High speaks through you with is through by his Spirit. And you may not even understand what you're saying. But you want to have that same experience so that you know that you know that you know that you know. I got my citizenship. The Most High has begat me. I am his son, his child. Let's continue. The book of Acts, chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter 8. Let's get verses 1 through 7. The book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Now, they have put, Stephen has gone to the forefathers, and he has run down the history of Israel from their conception to that very day, and what they how they have treated the Most High. And he tells them in chapter 7 that the forefathers resisted the Ruach HaKodesh. He tells them that the Most High wanted to fill them with his Spirit in the wilderness. When he brought them out of Egypt, his goal was to fill them with his Spirit. And they resisted him. They murmured and complained. They were disobedient. And the Most High says, I can't even be among you. Put the tabernacle outside of the camp. When I come down, I don't even want to be among you because you're disobedient, you're stiff-necked, you're hard-headed. I want to make you my children, but you do always resist me. Don't resist the Most High if you have been. Don't resist him any longer. Turn yourself over to him and let him have his way with you. Let's read about our brothers and sisters in Samaria. And these are our brothers and sisters in Samaria from the remnants of the northern kingdom. The remnant of them that weren't carted off to Samaria or to Assyria. Acts chapter 1. And I want us to pay close attention here because, again, this is where a lot of people are at today. And Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. So Paul is running around arresting the saints, everybody who's following after Yeshua. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. So the Most High used this persecution, just like he'll use you. He used this persecution to spread the word of the gospel of the kingdom. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ, Yeshua, unto them. Now these are the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is the northern kingdom. Messiah had lived among them. But you have to know where Galilee is. Galilee is the northern kingdom, part of the northern kingdom, renamed by the Romans as Galilee. Here it is prophesied about Galilee of the Gentiles, that this is where he would be. So we have him coming to the apostles coming to the city of Samaria. And when you understand that the capital of the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes that left, that the Most High split off from the southern kingdom, that their capital was named Samaria. So when it says that they come to the city of Samaria, when Messiah was talking to the Samaritan woman, the woman of Samaria, he wasn't talking to the Gentiles then. He wasn't talking to the Assyrians that have been, and those other nations that have been planted there. He was talking to the remnant of Israel that weren't captured by the kings of Assyria. And so they have now come to the lost sheep. Now let's read what he said. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. But there were a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. Now, I want us to understand here, this is what the northern kingdom was accused of doing. Israel, they took on and started worshiping the gods of the people of the land. And they made the Most High so mad that he caused the king of Assyria to come and take most of them out. But he left a remnant in the land that escaped the king of Assyria. And they stayed there, but they kept doing and worshiping these other gods and doing this wickedness, voodoo and magic and witchcraft. So this is, when you go back into the Kings and you read about this, you understand, oh, yeah, this is exactly what our forefathers were doing. And there was a remnant that was left. And the Most High considered that remnant to be Israel. The ones that had been cut off, that never came back, he didn't consider them to be Israel. I hate to tell the brothers that. This is where the lost sheep were at. They were still in the northern kingdom, worshiping other gods, practicing voodoo and witchcraft. And the gospel was being brought to them. Let's continue. But there was a certain man named Simon, which aforetime in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. He's doing sorcery, but they think he's a what? They think he's a man of the Most High. And to him they had regard, because that a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, they were baptized, both men and women. So they heard the word. They believed, and they got baptized, both men and women. This is where most of us are at today. Now let's hear what else is here. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of Elohim, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come, prayed for them that they might receive the Ruach HaKodesh. These people heard the word. They believed. They were baptized. They did not receive the Holy Ghost. Had not received the Holy Ghost yet. This is where I say again, most people are at today. They have heard the word. They have believed it. They have been baptized. But they have not received the Ruach. Just as these people in Samaria. Let's continue. Verse 15 again. Who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he has fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost. At that point, those people received their citizenship. They received and became the sons of Elohim. All those that believe, not everybody there received, trust me. We know of one that didn't, but there was more than just him. Because we'll read, you could read next that Simon tried to buy it. Simon the sorcerer, who believed on Messiah, he got baptized, but he didn't receive the Ruach because his heart wasn't right. But all those whose hearts were right, they received the Ruach HaKodesh. We have to examine ourselves. Is our heart right with the Most High that we might receive the Ruach? It's not an automatic thing when you get baptized or when you believe. It's not automatic. It can be for some. It's not with everyone. And this is what the scripture is telling us. And so we want to make sure and know that we have gotten this. We don't want to just go through the motions. We don't want to go three quarters of the way there and feel satisfied that we're okay. We want to have the same experience that they have had in this book so that we know, so that our faith is increased. Because I'm going to tell you, I was in the church, and I was just in the church. I was at church, but not in church. Let me put it that way. I was at church. I believed in the Most High, but I was not in church. And it was not until the Most High says, I will not forever call you, that my focus changed. But once he filled me with the Ruach, my witness changed. My walk changed. Everything about me changed. Why? Something that I had just read about. It was not just something that I had heard about. It was something that actually happened to me. And it changed me. And so I'm not telling you something that I heard. I'm not reading to you something that I've only read and not experienced. This is when the Most High said that I was his. This is when my faith and my belief in him, my desire for him, was that nothing else mattered. House, family, job, business, nothing was coming before him. I wanted him with everything that was within me, with my all. Then he found me acceptable. And he accepted me. Remember when we read the verse, I think it's in Galatians, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. When he received me, my understanding of the scriptures changed because I wasn't just reading them for myself. It was the Ruach HaKodesh that interprets for me, that tells me this is what this means and this is where this goes. Each and every one of us, I'm just saying to you this way, don't just assume. Don't just be prideful, but have the Most High to show you, give you a sign that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know. A sign in accordance with his word. I have accepted you as a citizen into my kingdom. Go and sin no more. Keep my statutes, my laws, and my commandments. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and I'm going to wrap this up. Because we have to always do this. The book of Romans, chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 9. The book of Romans. Chapter 8, starting in verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. How? If so be that the spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The same spirit that was in Christ is the spirit of the Father. To wit, God, I'm going to quote the scripture, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. To wit, Elohim was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. To wit, the Father was in Christ, reconciling himself. Reconciling the world unto himself. So when we read this in Romans chapter 8, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. How? If so be that the spirit of Elohim dwell in you, the spirit of the Father, the Ruach HaKodesh. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, it is the one and self-same spirit. He is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, why is this important? Verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. How? By his spirit that dwelleth in you. Gotta have this for citizenship. Sonship, for power, for understanding, for strength. It's not optional. He told us, you shall find me when you seek me with your whole heart. You shall find me when you value me more than anything else. When I'm so precious to you that you would give your all. If you knew I was over here and I was this box of candy, you go sell your whole house to get that box of candy. If you knew I was a precious pearl or some other treasure, you would go and sell everything that you have that you might get me. This is what the Most High is saying. And without him, you cannot enter in. So this is something that all you have to do, let me get one more verse. I believe it's been Luke. Give me a hot second. Go to Luke chapter 11. And this will be our last verse for this morning. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to get verse 13. Now let's get verses 10. We're going to start at 10 and we're going to end at 13. Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 10. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will you for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to them that ask him? This is all you have to do. Ask, and you shall receive. But remember, he said, anything that you ask for, you have to believe that you receive it. If you ask in doubt, he says, anybody that prays or asks anything in doubt, they shall not receive what they ask for, because they doubt it. If we have not been filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the evidence that's in the book, then I pray that we would ask the Most High. Ask him. He says, all you got to do is ask me. If you, being evil, give good gifts unto your children, how much more do you think that I would give those who ask me for my spirit? See, there's some of us who think that this should just be automatic. That, yeah, I got it. You know, I'm being good. I'm doing the work. We want to receive power. We want our ship. We want our citizenship. We want to be able to petition the Father for whatever we need, because we are his children and citizens in his kingdom. And whatever you ask for me, ask of me, I will do it. All we have to do is ask. But we have to really want it, and we can't be doubting. And you can do that right where you're at. Let us bow our heads. Most High Elohim, creator of the universe, creator of mankind, you created us, Father, because you wanted offspring. And you said that in order for us to be your offspring, We must be born of the water and of the Spirit. He said that if we wanted to enter into your kingdom and if we wanted citizenship, that we had to ask for your Spirit. And that we would receive power, your power, if we would just submit ourselves and want you with our whole heart. Father, we pray right now. We ask with humbleness and heart, but with hunger and a thirst for you, Father. Beget us that when you shall come, if we are in the grave, it is by your Spirit that you will resurrect us. It is by your Spirit that you will give us newness of life. It is by your Spirit that we shall perform miracles in this world. It is by your Spirit that we shall do anything and that we shall worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we don't want to come halfway or three quarters of the way. We want to make it all the way in. Father, if there be anything, anything that is keeping us back, you know the heart of every person. If there be anything that is keeping us back, or there's pride, or arrogance, or I can do it on my own. I'm good enough. I can keep these laws perfectly. Whatever it is, Father, you know, you look into each person's heart. And as they ask diligently of you, Father, fill them with your Ruach HaKodesh. Choose them to be part of your kingdom. Father, we need your strength, as all have always needed your strength, Father, to do the work. We can do nothing in and of ourselves. But it's by your Spirit. If there be any that have not been filled by the Ruach HaKodesh, Father, we ask that you would come even now. Set upon them. Grant them your blessing. Let them know that they are favored according to their hearts, Father. You know. But we want our citizenship in your kingdom. Whether we be a king or whether we just be a citizen, Father, you know. You know what we're going to do. But first, let us get in, that we might do the work, that we might bring you glory, that we might reflect your very essence, that when we arrive, when we show up on the scene, people just automatically know, there goes a man or a woman of the Most High Elohim. Not even by how we're dressed, Father. We don't have to have on the religious garb. We don't have to have on the deep seat. We don't have to have on a bishop's robe. But the people just see the light, your light, shining through us. That your Spirit will testify with their spirit that we are the children of Elohim. These things I pray, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. I just magnify you. I give you glory. I worship you, Father. Hallelujah, because you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. Hallelujah. But as many as have asked you, Father, and call upon your name, fill them with your Ruach HaKodesh. Fill them with your spirit. Come, Father. Many of us have been struggling, wanting to do right, but allowing the flesh to take over. Fill them with your spirit. Come. Glorify you. Let them be to praise your name. Come, Yah Elohim. We are your children, and we call out to you.
You are the fire. We are the temple. You are the voice. We are your song. You are our God. We are your people. You are the light. We stand in awe.
We stand in awe of you.
Not by might, not by
Send your spirit, Elohim. Send your spirit, Yah. We need your spirit. We can do nothing without you, Father. We beg you even right now. We ask with sincerity of heart. Send your spirit, Father. Fill us with your precious Holy Spirit. Make us your children, that we might be equipped to do the work that you have set before us, that we walk not in fear, but in the power of your might. The scripture says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, they are the sons of Elohim. We just want to be your sons, Father, your children. Amen and amen and amen. On this evening, I don't know if we will be doing the temple. I don't know yet. Or whether Yah has a different word. For on this evening, I will send it out prior to, try to give you notice. We will be having, you know, the lesson this evening. I don't know whether it will be the temple or whether it's going to be something else. Yah will tell me for sure. That being said, may the Most High encampment angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. May Yah bless you. And remember, I love you, but your Father, Yah Elohim, loves you way more. Ask him for his spirit and see if he won't give it to you. Shalom, family.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise.
Kingdom.